And good evening and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode 13. Ooh, 13. Lucky 13, as I've been calling it. And that was the dulcet tones of the Crimson Twins calling us in to the show as usual. I just wanted to talk about them for a second, because they're both of the Crimson Twins, and is a duo that I have known both of the members of this group for going on. It's probably about 25 years now. Seems unbelievable, but yeah, 25 or more years that I've known Peter Kreutlein and Randy Stack, who collectively are known as the Crimson Twins. And you can go and listen to more of their music if you like what you're hearing at the introduction of my show. You can go and listen to their music at www.crimsontwins.com. And it's all free. They don't charge for their music. Just go and download whatever you want. It's electronic music, and a lot of it is really interesting. Don't do like pop-style music. So if that's what you're looking for, you're not going to find, you know, Cher or Madonna or, you know, Green Day or anything like that there. But you will hear some very interesting computer music and using a variety of very interesting musical instruments. But Peter and Randy are two of my favorite people, and I just thought I would, you know, bring that up because, you know, they provided this very kindly, have consented to have me use their music to introduce the show. And all I do in return really is give them a little publicity. And they're good friends of mine, and going back many, many years. I first met them, actually, I know I met Randy first, because I was at that time managing a comic store in Fort Myers, Florida. One day I was going about my business and, you know, et cetera, as I usually did. And this gentleman comes in the door, and this good-looking chap, you know, big doughy eyes, and asked me, you know, have you seen Peter? And my response was, I don't think I've seen Peter. I don't know who that is. And he's like, well, you'd know him if you saw him. And then he went away. Probably a week later, it happened again. He came in and, you know, excuse me, have you seen Peter? And I was like, no, I don't know who Peter is. I thought, well, you'd know him if you saw him. And once again, you know, he hung around for a while and then went away. And this happened a couple more times over a period of a month or so. And finally, one time when he came in, he came up and said, oh, have you seen Peter? And I said, no, I still don't know who that is. And I said, oh, wait, there he is. And, you know, pointed over to, you know, this other person was standing over there. And that was Peter. And I did not know him when I saw him. So, but it was very interesting nonetheless. So the guys were part of a social circle of mine in the early 80s, and really kind of up to the present day, a disorganization known as the Toasty Fry Co-op. And it's a group to which I belonged, and my ex-wife belonged, and many members of my family, my brother, my sister, and a lot of the friends that I have that are long-term friends who I've known for, you know, many years were part of that group down in Fort Myers, Florida. And it was a very interesting kind of group because there really wasn't any kind of structure. And that's why we referred to it as a disorganization. And what we would do is the group would meet on set night of the week. It was usually Thursday at Denny's or Village Inn or a place like that. And for a while we were at a pizza place. And it would just be whoever showed up, whoever just happened to show up. The one rule of Toasty was there are no assigned seats. Now, my corollary rule to that was that there should be coffee. And as indeed, there normally was much coffee. And it was a great time. And it was a very good, especially in a place like Fort Myers, Florida. Now, I'm not dissing anybody who is in down there in Fort Myers. I know that Liz in Florida, who's a listener of the show, she's actually one of my friends from back in the Toasty days. I'm not going to diss it, but it really is kind of a backwater, culturally at least, and artistically certainly. There's very little of value culturally or artistically coming out of Southwest Florida. It's just not that kind of a place. it is sort of a tourist destination, and if you like resorts and beaches and sun and being hot and bugs and hurricanes, then of course it's a wonderful place for you. And yeah, I did enjoy to some extent living in that area, but I don't think I could ever live there again. I know I could never live in Florida again. It's just the climate is just not suited to me. And it's not even that it's hot. It's that it's so hot and so humid. And I don't think I could ever live there again. But anyway, I'm getting off the subject of complaining about Florida climate. But the Toasties was a group I was involved with tangentially from about 1984 up until 1987. And then actively from 1987 to 1992, which would have been the year I moved away from Fort Myers. And I'm still friends with a lot of the Toasties today. I just don't see them very often anymore. But it was the sort of place where you could have these very intellectual, deep conversations and have another conversation going on at the other end of the table about, you know, Saturday morning cartoons. And then somehow have the two conversations combine and make even more sense and bring even... You know, it was a very interesting chemistry. And I have to say, as the result of the Toastie Fry Co-op and also the result of the various people who I knew there, it was a profound influence on me, philosophically, sexually, culturally, the way I look at art. A lot of that had to do with those experiences with the Toastie Fry Co-op. So I owe them a lot, and I, you know, it will always be one of those things that I cite as being a good thing, especially good considering where it was in this backwater of Southwest Florida. So Randy and Peter, sometime in the, I think it was the very late 80s, I don't say, it was about 1988 or 1989, started recording as the Crimson Twins. And a lot of the material on their website is from that early period of time. And I do remember that they put out their first album, the first studio album, as it were, in, I believe it was 1988. And they packaged it as a cassette. And in every cassette, they had a stick of Beeman's clove gum. And I just loved that. That was, for many years, I treasured the cassette. Unfortunately, the cassette was destroyed. And It was not deliberate. It was an accident. It was part of this flood, basement flood that happened in 1996 that kind of damaged a lot of my belongings. And unfortunately, my copy of Blues Resolution was among that. But, you know, I didn't listen to the tape all the time. I did listen to it occasionally. I made a copy of it and would play it in the car. But I would often just go and get the tape and open it and smell the gum. It's my pleasure to, you know, to use the Crimson Twins music on the show, which is not to say that I won't someday use, you know, other people's music as well. But I do like their work a lot, and I realize it's not for everybody. Oh, what else? Oh, yes, we have a new listener. Hooray, I have a new subscriber. Welcome, Jeremy, to the show. Hooray! Jeremy is one of my fraternity brothers from OU, and has been a good friend of mine for a long time as well. So it's kind of like old home week this week, talking about, you know, the Toasties and talking about the fraternity. Jeremy was a member of the Epsilon class of the Alpha Sigma chapter of Delta Lambda Phi, which was my fraternity, and was one of the members of the pledge class of the year when I was pledge master. And see this gray hair here? See, Jeremy, look, you see this gray hair? That you made that. I can hear Jeremy gasping and saying, no, not me. I was the good boy. I was the one who always learned what he was supposed to learn. And yes, that's true. Yes. And very proud of Jeremy, actually, because he went on after I graduated, and then after he graduated, went on to be the National Executive Director of the National Fraternity, and was very active in that for a number of years, I think. correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy, I think it was about 3 or 4 years that you were active on the national level. Yeah, something like that. And I don't think he's doing it right now, but hey, you know, you do something like that for a number of years and you get burnt out. You'd need to take a break and kind of, you know, set it aside for a while, go off and do something else, and then come back, maybe. I was actually one of the people who started the chapter at OU. And I was in the beta class and became the first person in the chapter to hold an office outside of the local chapter when I became a regional vice governor. This would have been 1999, maybe 2000. I was the regional vice governor for a couple of years. Welcome, Jeremy, and I hope you enjoy the show. If you have, as always, you know, if you have any comments, you have any questions for Jeremy or anybody else, I encourage you to send me email. You can send me mail at tom@tomharrisusa.com, or you can send it to harrispodcast@gmail.com. Or if you feel so inclined, you can leave a comment on the Podbean website. Now, you can leave a private comment to me, or you can leave a comment on the page of the show. So you go to the individual episode that you're making a comment on, and you click the comments button, and that will leave a comment. Now, as I said in previous show, all of the comments are moderated, so not anything will get through, but most things are going to get through. And so far, I don't think I've ever not let a message through, but I also haven't had that very many comments. So, you know, please feel free to comment, especially if you don't agree with me. Because I know I'm being opinionated on this show, and that's very deliberately, because I am opinionated. And I'm opinionated not just about psychics and religion and politics. I'm, you know, opinionated about a lot of things. So if you disagree with me, if you agree with me, whatever. You know, feel free to comment and to, you know, participate. This is a participatory show. So I do hope that people do give me their input, and I would like to hear from you. Speaking of being opinionated, I watched Iron Man the other night. Now, Iron Man, I know that's an old movie now. It came out some time ago. I was watching the movie, and I was wondering why it is that it's so difficult to do a good superhero movie. I don't know. Is it a limitation of the medium? And yeah, I know that now Iron Man itself, now this movie that I watched the other night, wasn't bad. As comic book movies go, in fact, I think it was one of the better ones I've seen in quite some time. They were pretty true to the source material, which is always important because the fanboys love it when you're, you know, faithful to the source material. And it had some good actors, and you know, they did a really nice job with it. Technically, beautiful movie to look at. They updated the story as they had to, because obviously when you're doing a film of a property that's been around for 50 years, you're going to have some problems adapting it. And the original Iron Man story was set, the origin was set in Vietnam. Now, that wouldn't make sense today. So, obviously, the, you know, Marvel, when they are, you know, preparing this movie, decided to set it in an area that looks rather like Afghanistan. So, they did update it, and the updates make sense. I was very interested in seeing Iron Man. I couldn't talk Pete into going to see it in theater. He had really had no interest. He doesn't like the character. That's kind of a stumbling block for a lot of these movies, that sometimes I don't really care about the character at all. But I think Iron Man, they did a pretty good job with. And I'm kind of looking forward to the second one. Now, there have been hints that, you know, as well as a second Iron Man movie, they're going to be doing an Avengers movie with Iron Man and the Hulk and Captain America and Thor. I don't know if I'm looking forward to that or not. because overall, the track record for comic book movies isn't that great. Now, you want to look at the stuff that Marvel's done. Your major franchises right now are the X-Men. Now, the first X-Men movie I liked very much. That was, even though the story was a little bit weak, they had to introduce all the characters. That's the problem with the first one. You know, you have to introduce all your characters, establish what their abilities are, And there's always going to be some fanboy who doesn't like the changes you make. But you have to make some changes because you're transferring something that's 40, 50 years old to the present day normally, unless you're going to do a period piece, which is not that often. But also you have to transfer it from a drawn medium to a live action medium. And that's hard to do. And especially for a fanciful character like, the angel, somebody, guy with wings, or somebody with blue fur. It's hard to do that convincingly anyway. So they have to make allowances when they do things. Now, I've never considered, obviously, any of the comic book movies to be the same universe as the actual comics. So I can enjoy it on that level. But some people, they get really hung up on the minutiae and the continuity of the series as it appeared in print. I don't really. And maybe that's why I liked Iron Man. I mean, they changed some of the characters. They changed some of the relationships of the characters. The villain of the piece was portrayed as Stark's partner, business partner, which was not at all the way it was in the original series. But it did make a certain sense. So internally it made sense and was able to enjoy the movie on that level. The problem, of course, is when they realize they've got a cash cow on their hands. And they start talking about sequel after sequel after sequel. Now, I think I was talking about the X-Men. Now, I liked the X-Men franchise for the first two films. I liked the first movie very much. And the second movie, I thought, was almost as good. But the third movie sucked. It wasn't well written. It wasn't well acted. I think that most of the actors were just kind of going through the motions, other than a couple of them, especially the new people who are seeing this as an opportunity to show off and maybe get other work down the road. I have no desire to see Wolverine now. As a result of that, I haven't heard great things about it anyway. It's not one of those movies I have a strong interest in. The character's not my favorite character. My boyfriend loves Wolverine, but we didn't actually go see the movie in the theater. And it does appear now that I'll probably just end up renting it from Netflix at some point. Maybe I'll watch it, but I don't have high hopes because Marvel doesn't have a very good track record. Look at the Hulk. The first Hulk movie, it was okay. It wasn't brilliant. And I haven't heard good things about the second one either. Now, I haven't seen the newer one, the one that came out right after Iron Man, because I really have very low expectations. I don't really care for the character. The character itself is not that interesting. It's a takeoff of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. They tweaked it, but it's basically the same thing. And I don't think the Hulk is a character that is strong enough as a character, not strong, not the Hulk, that the Hulk is not strong enough. The character is not really strong enough to have a good, solid series. And I didn't like the comic series that much either, even back when I was collecting comics. And the Hulk was never one of these books that I looked forward to. It wasn't something great. So generally the movies have been pretty weak. And Marvel also kind of struck out with Fantastic Four. Now, the first movie, I thought, was terrible. They changed the characters too much. The basics are the same. The powers are the same. I think they did as well as they could have under the circumstances, but they really didn't make a compelling movie that made me want to see more of it. I have the second one on my Netflix queue now, and I'll be watching that pretty soon. So I'll let you know what I thought of that one. But it's so hard to take a beloved character like that and make a movie out of it. And I'm not even talking about the fanboy haggling over little details that they didn't like. They just don't really translate well to the big screen. Another good example of that would be Daredevil. That awful movie with Ben Affleck. Oh, God. What a horrible mess that was. And I guess there was a sequel to that I have absolutely no desire to see, Elektra. But, oh, God, the Daredevil movie was just terrible. And it was very pretty to look at. Technically, good special effects. They guess they did as well as they could with, Ben Affleck. But as far as I'm concerned, there's no good Ben Affleck movies, and this one did not disappoint in that regard. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with, because they're talking about this Avengers project coming up. And when you really are dealing with a franchise that, you know, it's going to have Iron Man, which whose first movie was pretty good, as these things go. And I'm assuming they're going to put Wolverine in it, just because it's Wolverine and he's in everything. And the Hulk, presumably. It's going to be interesting to see if this is going to be either something really special or something really, really bad. I think DC has had a bit better luck. The big franchises, of course, for DC have, you know, been Superman and Batman. And the first couple Superman movies I was a big fan of back in the 70s and early 80s. And then I kind of lost interest in what came after. The third one was very mediocre. The fourth one was awful. And the fifth one I never saw, the revival that they did a few years ago. I actually liked the Smallville TV series better. And that's not a very traditional telling of the Superman story. Batman now, I mean, Batman has had, I think, more movies than the others, and I think he's still the more popular character. And if you want to count the one from 1966, well, the one from 1966 is basically a two-hour-long episode of the TV show with the same cast, and except for Catwoman was different in the 1966 film. But it is the cheesy, campy Batman that people remember fondly from, you know, Saturday morning TV. And I liked the first two Tim Burton ones with Michael Keaton. I thought that was a good start, where you had the first Batman, and then you had the one where Danny DeVito played the Penguin. And I quite liked it. But then after Burton stopped doing it, the series fell into dreck. And I did see the third one, which I believe had Val Kilmer. And it was all right. It wasn't anything special. But the last two were just terrible, and I would not recommend them to anybody, even to a 5-year-old who really likes Batman. But when they did Batman Begins with Christian Bale, I started to get interested again, because they definitely have a different sensibility. And if you have any doubt of that, look at Batman Returns, you know, with Heath Ledger as the Joker. I mean, obviously that he has become, you know, posthumously a big icon. Was the movie the best movie I'd ever seen? No, it wasn't. Not really. It was kind of lacking in story. But they also had to deal with the fact that, you know, arguably their star, Heath Ledger, you know, had died. And they had to edit around that. They couldn't go back and do any more shots of him, obviously. I think they dealt with it as best they could. I assumed that he had finished with, you know, principal photography and so forth, because it didn't seem as though there were any bits missing. They may have reshuffled scenes a little bit just to, you know, to make up for the fact that they couldn't reshoot. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do, because after that horrible, you know, Joel Schumacher crap that was coming out a few years ago, they've reinvigorated this character as a movie franchise, and I'd be interested in seeing where that goes. Another good comic book movie series so far has been Hellboy. Surprisingly so. Now, I wasn't that big of a Hellboy fan. In fact, I really wasn't all that familiar with the Hellboy series. But Pete lent me the books, the graphic novels, and I got caught up on kind of, you know, the background, who the character was, etc., before I watched the movies. And I have to say that as a comic book movie that was surprisingly successful, the two Hellboy movies, both of them. And the first one I watched on DVD, the second one we actually went to the theater and watched, and I thought that was surprisingly good. And I like, you know, I like these sci-fi movies, and I like fantasy movies. And the superhero movies I want to like. I never go into one of these things, you know, expecting it to be awful. If I was expecting it to be awful, I wouldn't be paying money to go see it in the theater. I was very, very surprised by the second Hellboy movie and how good it was. It was a lot of fun. and of course, very beautiful, beautiful movie to look at. And it seems to me that the one link that a lot of these, the bad comic book movies have in common is that they're made from properties that were, you know, created by Alan Moore. I don't know if anybody has seen this awful movie, Constantine, with Keanu Reeves. I haven't seen it. I'll be honest, and I'll tell you, one of the main reasons I haven't seen it is because, A, it's Keanu Reeves, and B, they can't even pronounce the name of the character right. Name of the character is John Constantine. So, you know, right away they've lost me. Yeah, maybe that seems like a silly reason not to go see it, but I also haven't heard good things about from other people. Yeah, poor Alan Moore. He just can't catch a break. You know, he did all this work for DC, and a lot of these properties have gone on to become films. And obviously the big one recently is Watchmen, which looks like an absolutely gorgeous movie. And it does sound to me like a lot of people liked it. And Pete and I were going to go see that in the theater, but it just never happened. So it would be... I'm going to be interested in actually watching it on DVD and seeing what I think of it, but I do have high hopes for it. It does seem to be a very pretty movie again. And the other Alan Moore project was... there were two. There was From Hell, which is a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant comic. The movie was absolute shit. I have never seen a worse adaptation of anything to the big screen in my life, and much less a nuanced story. The From Hell graphic novel is just full of these little bits and characters that were so well defined, and all based on real history. The movie version, they turned it into a romance. It's just the worst thing ever. And then The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Now, that was an idea that I think had a lot of possibility. And I still think that you could do that well. Unfortunately, it wasn't that movie. The elements were there. They just weren't put together. And I guess I can't blame Alan Moore for not wanting to see his work turned into films anymore. And not wanting anything to do with the Watchmen movie. And I can't blame the guy, considering what horrible, horrible luck that they've had doing movies of his work. I'm trying to remember some of the others. There have been a lot of comic book movies, and it's just amazing to me how bad most of them... Oh, Swamp Thing, there's one. They filmed the swamp scenes for that on this little patch of... plastic grass and trees and the Universal Studios Florida lot. And I've seen this thing. It's only about 10 foot square, this little swamp that they filmed in. It's pretty frightening, you know, that they did that. And I guess they made a couple of these in the TV series, but I just saw the first one with Adrian Barbeau and was not too impressed. I think that was pre-Alan Moore. Pretty sure that was pre-Alan Moore. I do find it very, very weird that with all the money that they pour into these films and all the things the technical wonders that they have at their disposal for special effects and that they can't do a decent comic book movie anymore. Not every movie can be Mystery Men. You know, I actually liked Mystery Men. It was a cute movie. It was nothing like the original comic, but that's okay. I'm not going to be hung up on that just because it's not exactly the same. Oh gosh, this whole show has been one giant tangent. I can't believe it. It's at the end of the show already. I was going to talk about alcohol this time. I wasn't going to talk about comic book movies, but hey, these things happen, you know. That's just the nature of the beast. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. So if you have any input, you'd like to email the show, you can email me at tom@tomharrisusa.com, or you can email the show at harrispodcast@gmail.com, or you can comment on Podbean. And just leave a comment for the show. So with that, It's time to go. Thank you for listening. This is Tom Harris USA, and I'll see you next time.